Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about the status of Esther. You all are familiar with the Purim story, and all's well that ends well. But we don't always think about the personal sacrifice that Esther made, you know, having to be with Ahasuerus, and it obviously wasn't pleasant for her. And I want to discuss some of the halakhic issues that come along with that. So there are really two basic questions we have to analyze initially just before we get started, just for the groundwork. The first was, Esther considered to be an anusa? Was she raped, or was she willingly with Ahasuerus? So what do you think the answer to that question might be?
Anusa.
When?
In 12:1.
Okay, so,
when?
Exactly. So initially she's anusa. Look at the first subakar on the sheet. There's a mekorah sheet over there. Vayomer nari yamelech nishartav yivak shulamech naris psulas tovus mare. She's taken, she used to be a nusa. But subsequently, as pointed out, after she realizes what's in store for the Jews, she then decides on her own volition, with the advice of Mordechai, to go to be with Ahasuerus to try to save the Jewish people. So look at the second source. Lechnos kol Yehudim nimtzayim. So initially, Esther is taken as an anusa. She's halachically considered to be, raped. Subsequently, you can argue that it's ratzah, meaning technically the matzav is a matzav ones. I'm sorry, there aren't any more commas. You can probably look on. Technically, it's a matzav of ones and bigadol, but lemaisa she decides to go to try to seduce Ahasuerus, to try to save the Jewish people. That might be considered a biyamiratzu. So that's one background issue. The second is, was Esther married or was she single? Big nafkamina. Yeah?
But did she end up actually, when she went miratzu, was there actually biyah? Like,
it seems like that's what happened. That's what it sounds like. We don't talk about it in the text, but that's the way Chazal understand. Now, whether or not she was married, what do you think the pshat is in the Gila? Was she married? Was she single?
Shot.
What's pshat?
Never said she was married.
Never said she was married. What does it say? What's the first?
She's
a psula. He was mekavitz psulos. So presumably she wasn't married, unless she was mekudeshes. But we know Chazal say she was married to Mordechai, source number 3, Vahi Ominus Hadasa, he Esther Pogo, his cousin. For some people always think of a long white beard, and she's this young girl, so it was his uncle, right? But really, the pasuk says, it's pretty clear, Bastoda, they were cousins. Ki Ema Ave Aim, so she is a widow, not a widow, but an orphan rather, and Mordechai is taking care of her. She's a beautiful girl. Mordechai takes her as a bas. So Chazal say, the next source, he took her as a wife. This is a very odd drasha. What does the pasuk say? That he took her as a daughter. He took care of her. An older cousin taking care of the younger cousin. And Chazal say that he married her. So the Torah Tumima picks up on this. And he explains where Chazal saw this in the text. So, firstly, if you look at source number 5, the pasuk says v'tilakach, right? That he took her, right? Mordechai took her. So that's Torah Tumima. V'darish kan l'kacha inen kedushin milashan kiyikach. Kiyikach is lashan kedushin. How did Chazal know that? So says Torah Tumima l'fize darish labas kamo labayis bas. The word bias often refers to your wife. Your wife is considered your bias. The Gemara Numa, other places, I'm not going to read the whole thing. But then he says, he just doesn't understand. Why did Chazal make that drasha? So if you look at the fourth line, the Efshar, in the middle of the fourth line, the Matza Hadoresh Remez Leinian Zesh Hadoresh Apostle Kufay Asher Lefi Pshuta Loyala Signoni Yafa. The Pasuk doesn't seem to make sense. What does the Pasuk say? It says her mother and father died. She was beautiful, and therefore he took care of her. If he's going to take care of her because her mother and father died, why stick in that she was beautiful? He would have taken care of her either way. If you have a relative who needs help, you take them in. What's the significance of saying that she was beautiful? The beautiful part should be connected to Ahasuerus. So since she was beautiful, they took her to the king. So the Torah Tumima argues that Chazal understood from this from the language of the pasuk that her beauty is what caused him to take her as a bas. And it's not a bas, rather it's a bais. And then he argues that, you know, we have kriyan ksiv, that maybe sometimes yuds are missing, and he gives examples of this. You can read the whole, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he says that really maybe it's not such a far off drasha. It's midrash in the pasuk that they describe her beauty. What's that connect? Why is that connected to him taking care of her? And the word bas could be just chaser, and the yud might be missing. Labayis, labayis means a wife, and that's his suggestion. That's how Chazal understood that she was married to Mordechai. Likewise, even if you look at the first makar that he took in the Aros Besulos, if you look at the end of the second pasuk I brought, Vahi b'shamad v'armelach b'daso v'hi kabetz na'aros rabos. So initially, who are they calling?
Besulos.
And what does it say? Lomaisa, what happened? Rabos. It doesn't say Besulos. So it could be even then. And also, there's another pasuk that says, Vayehav ha'melech ha'ester mikol ha'nashim. It's not on your sheets. V'tis ha'chein v'chesed l'fadav mikol ha'besulos. He loved her mikol ha'nashim. V'tis ha'chein v'chesed mikol ha'besulos. So there too, it sounds a little bit like he had gathered not only Besulos, but also a married woman, potentially. Pardon? That's what the Gemara Darshan said?
Yeah, that's a little town.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you. I forgot that. So, Lemaisa, we have over here two issues. One, was she, was it Ones or Ratzon? And we said initially it was Ones, subsequently it seems to be Ratzon, even though the case, general situation, is a situation of Ones, but she goes willingly, so it's considered Ratzon. And secondly, was she a Pnuya or was she a Nesua? So at least one opinion in Chazal is that she was married to Mordechai, which makes it all the more challenging in a sense how she was able to be with a Chashverosh. So the Gemara tells us that there are three cardinal sins, Averus Chamuros, that Yaragol Yavar. One of them is Arias. So the question is, how specifically, if we assume she was Nesua, the Chazal, how is Esther able to be with Achashverosh, both the ones, because even the ones, the halacha is, if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, sleep with a HSH, what do you have to do? Just give up your life. So why didn't Esther give up her life both the ones, and even more so, for Ratzon, how did she, was there any justification for her to go to be with Achashverosh, Ratzon? If she was a Pnuya, this question seems to be pretty much obsolete. Again, you can still discuss the various issues of with a guy, what does that, how does that affect her? But it's a less chamor issue, so I'm going to leave that for now. So let's assume she was married. How was she with Achashverosh Ones initially, and how was she with Achashverosh subsequently be Rat? So if you look here in source number 6, the makor for this din of Yarab Yavar is found in the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ein Dalet. Kol Averosh Batara im Omri La'adam Vor Baltarek Yavar V'Yarek Chus Me'Avodazara Gilu Rais V'Shichus Tam. These three cardinal sins. Gilui Rais Vashikos Damim Kidderevi. How do you know this? The Tani, Rabbi Omer, Kasher Yakum Ishal Re'eu Sachon Nefesh, Kena Dabar Ezeh. Rabbi says the Pasuk equates a woman being raped to a woman being murdered. I.e., the woman being raped is not liable, she was raped, she didn't do anything. She's just like a woman, she was a victim. V'chimal lulam deinu mirotzeach, what do we learn from Rotzeach? Me'ata hareze bal lamed v'nim so lamed. Makish Rotzeach l'namurasa, manamurasa, nitan latzil v'nafsho. So we learn one halacha that you can kill the pursuer, and likewise you can kill the pursuer of the din of Rodev. And then, for our purposes, just like if a person puts a gun to your head and tells you to kill somebody, you should rather die. So too, so there's actually a shayla in the Gerus in the Rishonim here. If it's tehareg, we're talking to the woman, or we're talking to the man. Is it yehareg? And that will be relevant in a minute. But in the end of the day, there are really five approaches here that I want to present. Why was mutter for Esther to be with Achashverosh, for Ones and Ratzon? And we have to figure out if each approach works both for Ones and Ratzon, or only one or the other. And let's analyze that now. First approach is that of the Shiltos. The Shiltos, and it's quoted by some of the Rishonim quoted in a way that's a little hard to understand. I have it here on the source 7 is the Meiri. The Meiri quotes it. He disagrees with it, but he quotes it. Megadoli kadmoneinu kosvu v'meseches ksuvus masha amru sham v'lidrosh l'hud onesh v'yisrael mishra shari. The Gemara says that when women were getting married, so the local governor would sleep with them. So, and the woman would be very upset, obviously, and some of them would give up their life. Mara says, well, tell them it's mutter, they're being raped. It's not their fault. She'en onim gilei rayos yereg val yavor, ele v'boel, shelo yifkom es ha'isha. Val ha'isha tavor. So the day of the Sheiltos is that the equation the Gemara made in Sanhedrin between arayos and the tzicha is dafka. Meaning, what does a rotzeach do? He takes somebody and he kills them. He makes them into a victim. So too, says the Sheiltos, the isser of arayos is to rape somebody, to be pogim. Who's that chal on? The man or the woman? The man. According to the Sheiltos, the isser yagol yavar only applies to the man, because the man creates a victim. The man rapes. If the woman, if it's consensual, according to the Sheiltos, it's not yagol yavar. It's very bichidish. Most of the Sheiltos disagree with it. That's the sheet of the Sheiltos. That the isser, it's still an isser deraisa to have relations with Eish Hadish, but it's not yagol yavar unless you rape her and you're pogim her. So according to the Sheiltos, the reason Esther was allowed to be with Achashverosh is what? Sheiltos. It's just an isser. It's Eino Yehareg Fa'al Yavar. It's true, it's Arias, it's Isser Misa, but the Isser, the Kedin of Yavar, Yavar applies only to the man. And only when the man takes advantage and rapes a woman. I mean, it's a little meduyik here. Like I said, the Rishonim,
because he's the one doing it.
Right, right. So for a woman,
he's being honest. Because he's doing the pagan. Meaning, I suppose the karkol.
What are you saying? You said the pagan might happen even if Marat's on this pagan.
Yeah.
Right. You could make that assumption. That's not the way. The Netziv doesn't want to show us that way. The Netziv thinks that the Ram holds this way as well. To be chiddush, the Ram has a case of a woman who's committing adultery to save her life, and he's asked the Netziv, what do you mean? It's Jaragal Yavor. So you could say she's a Psuya. But the Netziv says, no, she's Eish Hazish, and he holds like the Sheiltos. So this is a very simple way of answering. It's a very Bechidish. We usually assume Jaragal Yavor applies to both to the man and to the woman equally. The Sheiltos says it only applies to the man who is, you know, raping the woman, and therefore it was permitted for Esther to be with Achashverosh. Okay.
That's assuming also that she would have got killed otherwise.
Why do you make that assumption?
Well, maybe I'm just asking. Well, if she wouldn't have gotten, saying, what's the heter? Meaning, just because Nayar Gayabu.
Chaybehem, the Chaybehem. We've mitzvah for all of Eris and Torah of Chaybehem.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That meaning, it's assuming that if she wouldn't have slept with him, she would have been killed.
Oh, right, right. I think that's a fair assumption. In those days, if everybody's been called to the palace and you say you're not interested, they might kill you. As long as it's a suffix, it's already ready. Okay. The second opinion, it's in Dugan Rashi, Tosfos writes this in Ksubis, in Sanhedrin, and Yuma, is that Karka Olam is matir a rayas, and it's not considered Yarag L'Yarag. So what does that mean, Lamaisa? If you look at Rashi, it's some rate. Af Nara Morasa, im Yomru Ba'ol Arusas Chavercha, or Tearig, if somebody tells you, sleep with this married woman, or he will kill you, Yareg Vayavar, he'll skip your life. Valhi Eina Mitzuva Limso Nafsha, that's only for the man. The woman is different. Tihi Eina Osa Klum, Tihaka Olam Ba'almehi, Vrayel Dover Esther. Vrayel Dover Esther is Dugin Rashi, and Tosu says explicitly that Kaka Olam is a heter. This is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, a fine dialogue that discusses, you know, about Esther Hesia Havin, and the Gemara says, according to one opinion, Kaka Olam. So Rashi and Tosfos say heter is karka olam. Now, I mentioned before that Esther was with Achashverosh both initially Ba'onis and subsequently Barazza. The Sheiltos' explanation would l'chora justify her being both Ba'onis and Barazza. What about Rashi and Tosfos? Hey, say karka olam. Would that apply both to Ba'onis and to Barazza? What do you think? Depends on what it means. Depends on what karka olam means. So explain. If it's a definitional statement that karka olam is karka olam, so unless she actually physically brings him on, so then even if she went beratzon, she's still karka olam, and therefore she'll be mutter even beratzon. That's the way the Yashar Shakov understands it, or Moshe understands that way. I think most Yashar don't understand it that way. Most Yashar understand that karka olam is what?
It's like he brings himself onto her.
He's taking advantage of her. He's essentially raping her. And if that's the case, when Esther was initially Boaz, Kaka Olam is a good justification. But once she decides to seduce him, so how can you say Kaka Olam? She's seducing him. So again, if you look at the actual mice of being, you might say, by definition, she's Kaka Olam. But if you look at the picture, the big picture, so you might say it's not called Kaka Olam. So here, there's a machlokas. Some say, Al Pidin, and that would be Afilu Biratzan, even if she went and actively seduced him, she's Kaka Olam. Or you say, no, it's just a question of, you know, the Metzias. The Metzias, she's raped. But if it was Ratzon, so then you can't apply Kaka Olam. So this answer of Rashi and Tosos potentially only works for initial stage where Esther was, you know, Anusa. Later you'd have to have a different heter. Question?
Yeah, it doesn't sound like from Rashi that it's even if she... I mean, Rashi sounds like if you put a gun to her head and say, go sleep with somebody while you're in Aramarasa.
So are you going to sleep or are you just going to lie down and sleep? Meaning, are you being raped or are you going to go physically... So that's the question. There's an ambiguity here.
It's not clear.
Yeah, I mean, I also seem to be noted that it's a definitional statement, but I think most Akronim assume it's a Metzias.
It's hard to say that it's because, like, she was mefat to him. Like, so what? Okay, so she's not really looking at either. Say it. But, like, a Maisa, the Maisa Vera, who did it?
You could understand Kaka Olam as being a statement that she's being taken advantage of. Just like you step on the ground, they're stepping on her. The minute she goes and asks for it, so it's not Kaka Olam. What do Kaka Olam say? She went to seduce him. You know, it's true, wanted to say seduce
him. That's not the... There's no Avera of seduction. Like, he's still got to do with Maisa Vera.
It's hard to say that she's being raped if she decides to go to him. To ask to be raped. It's not called rape if she asked for it.
Meaning, no one's going to be raped. That's the Shiltus.
You know, the Shiltus is saying the man versus the woman. I mean,
not to be raped, it's just a question of activity versus passivity.
Right. So I hear the beauty
and it's a good rhyme that in general it's a passive act for the woman, because how do you say it, Belashon Saginora, that a guy is being with a woman? Harisha.
So the right. Ground is.
And she's Karka. He's a Harisha. She's Karka. That's right. General. Right, it's not just rape.
So you're saying it's
definitional.
Here's that.
Okay.
I also note that that way. Third Mahalach is that of Balmor. The Balmor asks, how was Esther with Hashverosh? It was Fahesia. It's a different question. The Gemara doesn't ask who was Arias. We're asking who was Arias. And the Shulam will ask, why didn't they ask who was Arias? So the second answer of the Gemara is that Hashverosh was Hanas Atzon. He wasn't trying to... force her to violate her faith. He just was interested in sleeping with her. He was just interested. He was about Taiva. So the Mela, one day in the Gemara, is that that's why there's no Yarag Liyahu, even though there's no Yarag Liyahu, even though it's Fahesia. So the Balmor says that this heter of Karka Olam applies even to the Gimel Chamuros. Meaning, if a man puts a gun to a woman's head and says, sleep with me, because I want to sleep with you, so then you're allowed to, and it would go in the opposite direction. Even if a woman put a gun to a man's head, and that is active, by definition, a maisa bi is active, in kishu elodat. A woman puts a gun to a man's head and says, sleep with me. So you're allowed to sleep with the woman because it's hanas atzma. That's the sheet of the Balmor. The Balmor writes that if a third party puts a gun to your head and says, sleep with the woman, what do you tell now? Would that be mutter or usher? A third party puts a gun to a man's head and says, sleep with that woman.
It's not
that's why it's
the gun to
it's not Hanas Atzma. I mean, he could be getting some psychological, you know, Hanafra, but that's not called Hanas Atzma. So that would be us. So the Balmor says Hanas Atzma applies even to Arayos. Hanas Atzma is a heter even for Arayos. And therefore, this heter, what do you think, would it apply only to Onus or also to Ratzon? So certainly for Ones, he's Hanas Atzman. When it comes to Ratzon, it's also clear in Balmor. Like I said, Balmor says, if a person puts a gun to your head and says, sleep with that woman, that would not be considered Hanas Atzman. Here, she's going to seduce Achashverosh. Achashverosh is Nana, but she's going, at her own volition, seduce him. It's not so clear if it would apply to Ratzon. I'm not sure.
Isn't it a din in the bow? I mean, isn't it a din in the guy who's trying to make you over on the Arise?
The guy's going to kill you.
He's not trying to make you be ogre on such a
right, right.
Din in your lips, so who cares?
if the Yisrael has is being Benas or doing Beratz.
So, I think what you're saying is that according to Al-Mor, the Chiv to give every like is not a din in Chomer Aveira, it's a din in Chil Hashem, right? And as soon as there's Hanas Asma, it's not Chil Hashem, because they're doing it for their own Hana. The thing is, you go Mirotzon, they're still doing Hana. I hear that. I'm not convinced. I'll tell you why. Because in the end of the day, Achashverosh is doing it for Hana, only because she seduced him. So again, it's kind of similar to what I was talking about. I'm not so sure if that's going to change the way you look at it. You hear what I'm saying?
I thought the point of Hanas Asman is that
there's no Chil Hashem.
Yeah.
There's no Chil Hashem. But can you say...
How do you understand it otherwise?
No, I agree it's not Chil Hashem. The question is, are you allowed to put yourself in that situation in the Gatchila? I thought, well, if you're being taking advantage of it, it's Hanas Asman. So you don't have to give your life. Are you allowed to put yourself in that situation? I'm not sure.
You're viewing Hanas Asman as like a heter, like basically like you're really being over on the Gilo Averis Kamuros, and there's like a heter of Hanas Asman. So I thought it's like more Mustafa. No, Hanas Asman is like
my
dear.
It's not right, the whole thing.
Right.
I hear it. So I'm not sure if this is off. Yeah.
Clarify for a second. Yeah. Talk about Verazon. Like, so it's like right now, is like her life in danger? And she's the one who...
No, I mean, in 11 months from now, maybe. There's a potential other
right,
life.
Like, no,
she'll probably be saved.
No one's putting a gun. Like, how are the two kisses comparable? Like, what? Where's the Hanas Atzmo here? Like, she's getting killed for... No one's asking her to go be Balarias. Like, no one's, like, saying, like, go be...
So you're saying it's hard to even imagine that the Balmor is even relevant at all.
He's talking about Esther. Like, he thinks it is.
Well, if he's talking about Esther Be'onis, the question is, would it apply even Beratza?
Right.
So you're saying Mehekatesi, for sure,
right. Sure. Be'onis,
so we have Balmor here. Yosef's saying it certainly apply. They're saying it certainly shouldn't apply.
I'm saying just the certain... No, I'm saying in theory, Yosef could be right. But just in this particular...
Case. This is not considered...
It's not like... it's not Hanas Atzmo that... The Bia is not Hanas Atzmo. Nobody asked her to.
I hear it. It might be different than the case. We'll get to the Yehuda. I'll raise this. There's a different case which I think may be more similar to this. Then there's a famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam is very much a sheet. Rabbeinu Tam is mechadesh that when a goy, even though a goy is a person, you're chai misa, you know, if you kill a goy, but a goy's bia is not considered bia, klapi a Jew. There's goy and the Jews, zir masusim, zir masam, look at source number 10. The Dirish Rabbeinu Tam, second line. The Inchay of Misa Pias Mitzri, the Rahman Afka Elazari, the Mitzri, Chsiv, Zim, Asusim, Zim, Asam, Maisi Rai, Perzor, Mora, to High Esther, Perhasi Havai, Vula Parik, by Esther, Gulu Rai, Savai, Mashma, Divishim, Arias, Lo Mechayim, says Tosvos, says Rabbeinu Tam, that there's no question of Arias. This answer, Rabbeinu Tam, is different, and there's no Yargul Yavu. Both! So this answer is a great answer. It's a huge chiddush. The Rabbeinu Tam is a famous case. He was trying to matter a woman who committed adultery with a goy, and then they did tshuva, and the goy was miskayim. The halacha is, if you commit adultery with somebody, you can never be with them. So he said that he was miskayim. He says, well, maybe as a bias goy, it wasn't really a bia, and he wanted to let them live happily married, you know, after. So it's a great chiddush. Most of them disagree with it, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, that the heter was, it was bias akum, it's not a question. And the fifth shita.
Did it have to, like,
with
a
guy? No. Not with
the
guy. Just inspired by that.
It's different. What is it? When we say Boil Aramis,
it might not be Esther.
Boil Aramis, it could be that it's a Shemayim. Yeah, kind of Pokeball.
So what's this?
But in the end of the day, first of all, that might be with a man with a non-Jewish woman. It's not clear if it's the same with a switch away. But either way, in the end of the day, it's not going to answer. That's all he's saying. It's not going to answer. It's not mutter.
So what is it?
It's also, it doesn't have the stat.
It's not Yargul Yavam.
Meaning
it's also,
it's not Yargul Yavam.
It's
not Yargul Yavam. But it is beer.
Don't try it out.
It says it's not
beer. It doesn't have the status of something that's beer. It's an Isser, it's not status.
I don't know.
It's a very Yiddish, because the Pashtun is...
Yeah, don't mind.
Look, the basic is a shame, because there's Isser of intermarriage. That may be marrying.
Right.
If it's just nos, it could be based on shel shem gozru. It's a very ancient gezeira. You know, there's lots to talk about, but it's not something that's, you know, certainly encouraged. And it's certainly usher. It's not Yagol Yafar. For our purposes, we're trying to know, is it Yagol Yafar or not? The answer is, according to Hamasov. That's an easy answer. If you accept it, again, it's a huge chiddush, because the pashas is, the din of zirma susim and yirmasim is very limited to the question of achva. Like, is your brother from your father considered your brother? Do we consider his yichus to work that way? But it's not something that's not a maisibia. It just means that in terms of achva, there's no achva by God. Anyway, the Ma'arik is a very, very famous sheet of the Ma'arik, Italian Rishon of Yosef Mikolon, who's the Rebbe of the Bartanura. So he writes the following. It's partial that she did a mitzvah. She did an amazing mitzvah. So first of all, he just takes away the potential havmi that maybe she did the wrong thing. We're trying to justify it. Maybe she did the wrong thing. No, can't be. For sure, she did the right thing. The Medrash says that the Ruach HaKodesh came to her. So if Ruach HaKodesh is Yisrael El Adaraba, so first thing he says is that she was Karka Olam. She was Karka Olam. He seems to be assuming that Heter Karka Olam applies when? Remember, he raised the question, does Karka Olam apply only Be'ones, or even when she went Beratzon? He's talking about when she went Beratzon, and he says the Karka Olam. So it's Mizrik and Arik, the Karka Olam would even apply there, like Yosef was tiny, right? Definitely.
I was talking about
the title. No? That was next week. Who's time? I mean, Bidam was time. Okay. Besides. Then he says, he quotes one of the Bali Tosfos. Different answer. He quotes the Maisa with Yael, and she did a similar thing when she used to do Sisra, and the Gemara says it's a wonderful thing that she did. Okay. V'chein kosu with Tosfos, second bottom line, v'chein kosu with Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yehuda, be Paris, be Avamos. He thinks it's from the Ri himself. The Gemara asks, how was Yael with Sisra? She was a married woman. She was married to a chever. She was married. וכן רצינו באסתר, שמציע עצמה לחשברוש, בשעה שלא היה טובה, כדי שיסעב אלה, ויהכוח להספטוס, לעשוס לו בקשוסה. הרי לך שכוס ועטוסוס דבר זמות ולעשוס אפילו גבי עובדה דיאל וכל שכן והיא דאסתר. So the Ma'arik quotes from Rino in Paris, just write down here Ma'arik, that their heter was, what's the heter? Mahatzel Kol Yisrael. That's the idea. Hatzalas Kol Yisrael. Now, the way, the formulation here, it's Kol Yisrael. Does it have to be Kol Yisrael? Could it be Rov Yisrael? The Miri has a formulation of Rabin. There's a question exactly how to, you know, be magdir that. But we have this din of Hatolos Yisrael that is Matir's Arayos. So we have the Gimel Chamuros, which I always thought was like the most important thing. Now there's something more important. What trumps the Gimel Chamuros? Hatolos Yisrael. Kol Yisrael. Now, if you look here at the Nod Behuda, source number 16, the second to last line, he discusses a case where, a very sad case, where there was an entourage of Jews traveling, and some goyim came and they wanted to kill them, to rob them and kill them. And there was a clever woman who decided to seduce the leader, and she seduced him, and they let them all off. And the question was, did she do the right thing or the wrong thing? And is she mutter her husband subsequently? A fascinating question. So he says that she did the wrong thing. And the last line of this source 16. He says, save all Am Yisrael, you can do that. To save, you know, 12 Jews, that's the wrong thing to do. The you can't learn to be able to save just a small amount of people. So he also adds on that this was done by Horas Mordechai Vitzino and Baruch HaKodesh. So, here's a person who asks, rely on the Ma'arik. Do you need a Horas Beis Din or not? So the Nodi Yehuda says yes. Rav Kook has a tshuva, where he says no. This is Pekuch Nefesh, it's Docha Kolot Arkula. This is Pekuch Nefesh, Am Yisrael. You don't need Horas Beis Din, just do it. There's a very interesting article written in the Tchumen, in volume, I think, 32, about a woman becoming a Mossad agent. Sometimes the Mossad agents do what's called a malkodet dvash, a honey trap. I don't know if that's translated. Basically, you seduce an enemy, you sleep with them, and then you get their information or you kill them, etc. And the question was raised, I don't know how some women are doing this type of thing, but is it mutter? And he writes, halacha l'maisa, like the Maharik, it's mutter, you don't need to harass Beis Din, you're allowed to do that. The question was, if she's married, she should go back to her house, and that's the question we'll deal with in a few minutes, but that's how that's accepted halacha, that we pass on like the Maharik, the Latzalas called Yisrael, such a thing as Muslim. Yeah?
How can you base it on people from the Kol Erbula, like these Averis are the definition of the time, but it's not true?
The Gemara says, Kol Azar is Niskar. When it comes to Pikol Nefesh, Kol Azar is Niskar. So if Cook says, you don't even know how to spend it, Kol Azar is Niskar. You want to save a person's life, one individual on Shabbos, you don't call the rabbi, you call the ambulance right away.
Right,
and so,
that's
so,
that's
so it is Dohar. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush of Marik is that Salas Kol Yisrael is Dohar.
Kol Yisrael, yeah. But
yeah.
No, but okay, either you need to know how to spend it or not, but that's different than the regular rules of Salas and Pashas. Pikol Nefesh, that is not
Dohar. Cook argues, he thinks, again, it's a shine. But anyway,
the
mice
is
enough.
But
Cook says not for
Kol Yisrael. For Kol Yisrael. For Yael. Yael is a good example. If you want to
Yael.
Like,
was
that just true in the case of Yael? Like, wasn't it like
the war was over. The war was over. Yeah. They were already running away, so they wanted to say that if he was, if you killed the head, then there's a discussion about that. I mean, Yael is a chal interesting raya because it's not even clear if she was Jewish. I mean, Chazal assumes she, and it's unclear. It's clear if she, maybe she was raped. Is it clear that it's took him to say she had bia? It's not clear if she was Jewish, and even if she did have bia, there's one of the achronim on the Ein Yaakov who argues that really she was raped, that she put him to sleep, that she raped. She was raped. That's why she killed him. She killed him because she was upset that he raped her. That's what he suggests. Anyway, there's a rip. There's the parish of the rip on the Ein Yaakov. So that's what he suggests.
Anyway,
right. So it's a question: do you need kapara in such a case? You saved Amishah. It's an amazing thing. Did Esther have to do kapara? So I would think not. She did a mitzvah. But the Gemara says if you fast on Shabbos because you have a tiniest halom, you have to make a tiniest latanis because you're allowed to fast, but then you have to like fast again to make up for it. So maybe you could argue, do you kapara? And these are interesting questions. I have part of a halachim here. There's not so much time left, so I want to move on to the next part of the year. Basically, just to summarize, if we assume Esther was married, how is she allowed to be an Ibn Ores? Because Arias, Yargul Yavor, and certainly the Ratzon, we have five Mahalchim. The Maharik is talking about the Ratzon. How did she do it willfully? Some of the answers work only for Ones, and some work also for Ratzon, as I discussed. Okay, so the second question I want to analyze, just briefly, is after Esther was with Achashverosh, was she allowed to go back to Mordechai? We have a principle that a woman who commits adultery can't go back to her. She's also to the Boel, and she's also to the Baal. She's also to her husband. So the Gemara says in Sex Megillah, Aleph, Lech Nas Kol Yehudim, Ad Asher Lokadas. What does it mean, Asher Lokadas? Amar of Abba, Shalokadas Hayah. She Bechol Yom Yom Ad Akshav Ones. She always was being taken, Ones. Akshav Ratzin. She's going to seduce him to save Am Yisrael. Just like she's an orphan, she lost her parents, now she's going to lose her husband. So she won't be allowed to go back to him, says Rashi. Initially it was Ones, it was Mutter. But now, so now she becomes Asur. The tragedy, we don't think about it, but according to this Chazal, Esther sacrificed everything. She was Asur on her husband because she saved Am Yisrael. And the Maharik passes this way. The Maharik says it's mutter to do a riot to save Am Yisrael, but you can't go back to your husband. That's the sad reality. Says the Maharik, in the continuation of the same Shuvah, source number 14, Harei lecha shekosfu atosfus dovez amutu l'asus afilu gabi uvda diyael v'kol cheshen de Esther v'afilu halchi nesra mordechai b'ayla shuvda oso maise shahaya v'rot. So, yeah.
Practically, like, she was living in the palace now, right? Throughout
her life. Potentially, yeah.
So anyway, she probably can't see Mordechai.
Okay.
It's probably, like, she probably get killed for that also.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, you're saying the Pekoah Nefesh continued. It wasn't like it was even... The question of what it means later...
The king's wife,
Ki-hi-gida lo she tells them who Mordechai was, and Mordechai now becomes, you know, he takes over Haman's house. So it's unclear what exactly she said. But, yeah, you're right. You say practically it wasn't Shadach Gemina. But okay. Cases we're going to discuss in a minute. Now, you don't have to learn the Gemara that way. It could be that, like Rashi, you could say, and the Shita Kubet says, in fact, in Ksubis, I don't have it on the sheet, but he says, according to Rebbe Tam, right, she was mutter to Mordechai, because according to Rebbe Tam, she slept with a guy, so she remains mutter. So what does it mean, asher avadati avadati? So Shita Kubet says, well, maybe Mordechai won't want to be with her anymore, because he'll be, like, disgusted that she went, you know, out of her own will, even though she suggested it, but he or maybe that's what she thought asher avadati avadati, maybe she's wrong. So you could learn that she was really mutter, but according to Marnik, she, in fact, becomes usher. But there is another Gemara. Again, I apologize, I wasn't up to on the sheet, but the Gemara on Daf Tezvav and Beis, I'll read it to you, that seems to indicate that really it wasn't Nansa. The Pasuk says, she was considered Anusa. The Tamor bechatsar beis hamelech apnimis, Amar of Levi, came in Shegiel, beis atzlamim, nistal kaimer ashkina. Amar keili, keili, lama zavtani. Shemat hadan, shogei, kemezid, ones keratzon. When she's going, the Shekhinah leaves her, and she davens the famous Pesukim in Perchaf. Bays of Tillim, Kaili Kaili loves Avtani, and Hashem brings back the Shekhinah. So she's, are you Don and Ones Keratzon, right? What was the Lashon? Shogi Kamezi and Ones Keratzon? So what's the implication of the Gemara? That she's saying, I'm not Keratzon, this is a situation of Ones. She's going willfully, but she's saying it's Ones. So the situation was one of Ones. She's trying to say, obviously, she didn't want to be in this situation. You know, the act was an willful act. Maybe you can argue that the circumstances of ones overshadow the particular act and define it, even the act, as an act of ones. So again, that's not this chazal that I just read before, and Daf Tezvav. This is Tezvav on Beis. And the Majra asks, it's a stira, he's bothered by this. But L'maisa, L'halacha, the Beis Shmuel and Shulchanach quotes the Marik, that a woman who sleeps with a man to save Am Yisrael becomes ushered to her husband. Look at the source number 15. Now, this, of course, is a very, very difficult psak, the stomach. You have a woman who saves Am Yisrael now, isn't going to be able to be back with her husband. So the postgame, you know, rolled up their sleeves trying to disagree with the Marik. So the Shvus Yaakov quotes a Beis Yaakov, who just argued in the Marik, and that's ultimately rejected. The Nabi Yehuda also rejects it. But there are a few halachim and achronim that are accepted lehalacha. They're raised. So, for example, the Chochma Shlomo, in source number 18, if you look at Mashahaya Nirali, 8 lines down, the middle, first line. Mashahaya Nirali lechalik, to latik shemi Esther, tasim Esther lo nimsha chaznus, Gufa Tobas Yisrael Rak Peder Chachoka. The reason Esther was Aser is because she didn't know she would be successful. It wasn't immediate. Ki Al Yedei Ken Tim Sachein Be'enav. Maybe then Chesh will like her and he'll agree to her request. Yimal Mishal Oseh V'kevin Tahavi Rak Peder Chachoka Kvano Nasu Mi'alma V'lo Beguf Haznus B'zeh Kevin Haznus Havi Beratzen V'asal Yisrael Havi Hana Nasu Mi'alma V'Peder Chachoka B'zeh Nesra. Aval B'Yael, he wondered why was Yael Mutter. He's assuming Yael was Mutter to her husband. Kevin da'ave kavanoso la'ach lish kocho lios yoshin b'zeh ha've hatzalos Yisrael mikuf haznos ha've hanad asa mikufa liyisrael v'ada ha've ones mamish u'muteres l'bayla v'chilok zeh nachon u'baro l'dina v'dok. So the chilok of the Chochma Shlomo is that in the case of Esther, she talking about Yemasu. Because it wasn't a direct correlation between the znos and that song. But in the case of Yael, she slept with him to kill him, to save the Jewish people. Again, we have to discuss deals the story, war was over. Let's assume it was still very possible that he would rally the troops and wage war, etc. So killing Sisera was considered a Salas Sisera. Then, even Baratzon, she remains Mutter to her husband. That's the chilik of the Chochma Shlomo. The Binyan Sion has a very famous tshuva, a very, very tragic case where a very naive woman took a guy in. And the guy was like davening like 24 hours a day for a few days, and then he comes to her and whispers in his ear that, you know, he is Eliyahu HaNavi and he's going to bring Mashiach, and her husband isn't Roy to be the father, but she is a tzaddikus, she could be the mother, and they'll sleep with her and they'll bring Mashiach. And she sleeps with her, and then he runs off, and then She realizes the whole thing was a hoax. And the question is, can you allow this woman to be with her husband because she wasn't Nansa. He didn't rape her. But he psychologically played with her mind to such an extent you can argue that it's considered a form of rape. And he wants to be matir in that case. This is brought down halacha b'maisa. Unfortunately, there are sometimes tragic cases. There was a case in Sfat where some rabbi who was very charismatic, you know, took advantage of women and slept with them. And the women were kind of like under a certain. It's almost like a cult-like type of situation where you feel like you have to do this, and can you consider that to be onus? So even though technically they weren't forced, they weren't coerced, but psychologically they thought this was the right thing to do, and the post can try to develop their sleep and matter these women, or situations, very, very sad situations where therapists take advantage of clients, or, you know, medicated, and this and that, and the question is fine raised, and the post can try to, like I said, develop their sleep and matter the reality. Anyway, so that's also an important question. So there, it's not exactly the same. Meaning, the Chacham Shlomo was talking about a situation where a woman is doing something like Esther. She's going to save the Jewish people. So it's considered onus. It's considered ratzon. And yet he says it's still mutter, not like Marik, because it's immediate. It's an immediate result. It's mutter. The Minutium is really talking about a different issue. I just raised it because it's an interesting case. She's not trying to save anybody. That's just a question of how to define onus. It's a very, very different question. But what is relevant is the next shuv I have on the sheet, the Mishnah Halachos of Menashe Klein, who assumes also that you can somehow weaken the Psak of the Ma'arik. Ma'arik says Esther becomes Aser. So she says, well, maybe she became Aser because it was a constant violation. She was going to be with Achashverosh for many times. If it's just a one-time event, and her husband sends her, maybe it would be mutter. So again, the situation that the Nod Yehuda discusses is where there's an entourage of people who are being accosted, and the woman sleeps with one of the captors in order to save the group. So if it's just one time, and it's with her husband's consent, the Mishnah Lachos wants to be mutter. That's over here, source number 19, a very big Chiddush. Again, the question is, how many people do you need? Do you need Rabbim? What's considered Hatzalas? Kol Yisrael, Rov Yisrael, Rabbim, you know, a lot of people. These are very, very interesting questions. We're learning Gittin this year, so the reason I got into this, or the excuse to get into this, was, some of us learning Gittin, is that the Rishonim ask, how come Mordechai, if he indeed was married to Esther, why didn't you just give her a get? So Tosfos there on the daf, on Tesvav and Aleph, in Megillah, says, well, you know, you have to give Edim, it's going to make a hold, so you're going to call in the Bezdin, so they're going to, you know, catch on that she's married, it's not going to be good for her PR, so they have to keep it under wrap, so he didn't want to divorce her. So the Rashba says, what about Ksav Yado? Ksav Yado works in the Torah. She was in Ksav Yado, so then the Rashba says, listen, Edim is Shivin al Medrash. She doesn't really take it so seriously. So according to the Rashba, this whole discussion, you know, gets more theoretical. You know, it's still an important question. It could apply to a Mossad agent, but whether Esther was really married, you know, the Rashba doesn't seem to take so seriously. He doesn't think that's the Iker Deya. And Chazal, it's one day. I think it's the other. The Ramban also says that maybe she wasn't married. I mean, he's not wed, if you will, to the idea that she was wed. You know, maybe she was single, you know, and that would make this whole issue obsolete. Anyway, I just wanted to conclude. Just to summarize, basically, however she's mutter, why it's mutter is a question, after is a different question. Marik says it's mutter to Israel, it's the main psak, that's psak of Shmuel, and yet, some of the achronim still roll their sleeves, shakti matir, the Chacham Shlomo says maybe if it was a vada yatzala, she would be mutter to her husband. The only reason Marik asked her is because it was a safek hatzala, and Mishnah Halacha says that maybe if it was one time with her husband's consent, then it would be mutter. It's only the reason Esther was Aser is because it was numerous times. Question?
As Rav Willig always said a story about someone who went out to drink with coworkers, mm-hmm. and she drank too much, and she ended up sleeping with one of her coworkers.
Wow.
So
it's Mr. Haskell, not to drink.
He uses
But yeah, so if she's HSC Sura, then she'd be Nansa, that would be fine. If she's HSC Cohen, it's a more problematic situation. Just to conclude, I was thinking, you know, in life, we often have to, you know, have a shadlosh. That's why Hashem made the world. And you think about Esther's mysterious nefesh, you don't think about it so much, but her mysterious nefesh to save Am Yisrael, she gave up for herself. You think psychologically what it was like to be raped and to be, she gave of Am Yisrael, and she really put in a tremendous amount of shadlosh. But how does the Gemara define Esther? Karka Olam. So we put in a lot of Yishtablos, I'm saying Al Derech Drush. But at the end of the day, we're Karka Olam. We have to recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge, and we're just Kalim in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Should I have a form of Sameach? The question?
Yeah, I just remember there being, maybe this is in Jewish, but Eliyahu and Avihu were, and that the Yisod, I think it was, he actually mentioned it in the Mishnah Machlokes, that the Yisod is that she wasn't Mal of a Mal.
Meaning
even in the Eliyahu Navi case, with even if the Baal, you don't necessarily need the Haskamas HaBaal in order for her not to be Mal. I mean, she thinks she's bringing Mashiach.
He says that Omer Mutter is different. Omer Mutter is Me'ila, even though it's Meshogi.
Right. And
if she thinks she's doing a mitzvah, her husband's happy, then I want to be Me'ila.
Right.
That's the Chiddush.
Right,
so even...